Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is with us today. Richard Piper is here, and we certainly welcome you as well. We're ending up our month on the 8th. Key truths that every Christian needs to know. And today we're going to talk about the most important, and that's the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul wrote this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is that the case, Andrew? Why is love the greatest of those three and stands as the pinnacle of the Christian life experience?
Well, I think, you know, you get back to the core of who God is. I mean, God is not hope, God is not faith, but God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love. That's at the core of his motivation toward us. It's at the core of why he did everything he did in the gospel. And so we're really, you know, when we read about love in 1 Corinthians 13, I think we need to remember that we're reading about God. We're reading about the character of God. So rather than getting out my legal pad and trying to say, okay, wait a minute, love is patient. Okay, I got to be patient, got to be patient. All right, love is kind. I got to be kind, got to be kind. I think we need to be really seeing that, hey, this is the character of God, the character of Christ that is being described here, because this agape love is not something that we try. It's not something that we manufacture. It's really something that comes from the very core of who God is. So when I think about love, I really need to think about letting Christ be Christ, letting Christ be my love in a given situation. And, you know, maybe the folks out there listening can relate to that. They've tried their hardest to love somebody who seems unlovable. They gave it their best shot. They redoubled their efforts. And eventually they just found that they couldn't try themselves into loving. And I think that's where God wants us. He wants us to know that he's love and that he's the only one that can love through us.
Yeah. And this particular definition, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, that's a description, and we look at those things as adjectives. You know, love is patient. Patience is an adjective. Mm-hmm. And that's how it comes across in the English language. But in the Greek, those are present tense active verbs. So it kind of gives a different feel as to what this passage is all about and what God's love is for us right now. So for all of us living in this world, all of us who are children of God, God's patience is being poured out on us right now. God's kindness is being poured out on us right now. God's protection, God's trust, hope, and perseverance with us is all part of this relationship. And so when we say we want to love others as Christ has loved us, what does that look like? It looks like patience in action, kindness in action, and those sort of things. But we realize, as you were saying, Andrew, that that just can't happen in and of ourselves. We don't have what it takes to produce that. That's why John wrote that things that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Love is an outflow of this trust relationship that we have with Jesus. As we abide in him, live in him, remain in him, we're going to see this fruit of love being expressed through us. And that's, as you said, that's his character being expressed through us, bringing us right back to what God said in the garden. I've made them in my image, in our image, And what is that image? It's an image of love, and we get to reflect that in this world that we live in, and it's a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it sure is. I mean, you just think about the privilege that we have to contain Christ. I mean, to have him living within us. And, you know, the Bible says work out your salvation, but it says do that because God is working in you. And that's an awesome miracle in itself.
Yes, it is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you as well. Plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Today is the last day of our offer for the CD series, The Power of Eight. We would love to put that into your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. We certainly encourage you to take advantage of this offer. One thing that I've discovered in 30 years of ministry is that most believers are very weak concerning the basics of the faith. There was one day in a church service, I was going over these eight truths, just listing them out, and several folks were like, hold on, wait a minute, let me get out a pencil and write these down. And it's like, well, you've been hearing this every week, and yet when put together in that way, it made them, made their ears perk up and really listen and say, hey, I want to know these things. And so we really need to shore up our foundations in Christ. And this particular CD series will really help in that perspective. So take advantage of this offer, The Power of Eight, an eight-set CD series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. It will help you in your walk with Christ, and it will also help the ministry reach others with this good news of God's love and grace. All the information on how you can be a part of the Basic Gospel team, how you can get a copy of The Power of Eight, is available at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. We invite you to do so right now. In the meantime, let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hi. I was dialing, so I didn't hear the complete message that you were talking about. So my opinion or viewpoint, I guess, would be, so our lot in life, instead of the verb over the whatever you call the other one, illustration for kindness and love and everything. So our lot in life would be to emulate Jesus and God through the Holy Spirit. Is that correct?
Well, I think the key there, Kenny, is through the Holy Spirit, because, you know, love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love is not the fruit of Andrew. It's not the fruit of Bob or the fruit of Kenny or the fruit of Richard or any of us.
Hurts to hear that, Andrew.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
But yeah, right. love is a fruit of the Spirit. So I think that, you know, as we keep that in mind, we shouldn't expect ourselves to be getting better and better and better at loving people. Really, we get acquainted with our weakness apart from Christ, and then we realize that Christ is my love, and that's why he lives in me. Otherwise, he could just give me a ticket to heaven and I'll see him later, but he decided to give me himself. And so in giving me himself, I now have his love poured out in my heart. So I think the part that you said, Kenny, where you said it's through the Spirit, I think that's key.
Yeah, that is so key. And there's something else, you know, you said emulate Christ. And there's many that set out to do that. And so they try to follow his example, but they try to do what he did instead of recognize the way he did those things. And he said many times in the gospel accounts that he did nothing unless the Father did it through him. So his life was a life of dependence upon his Father. And he could say time and time again, it's not me doing the work, it's my Father working through me. So if we're going to emulate Christ, it's in a life or an attitude of dependence upon Christ, just as he lived in dependence upon his Father. And that's when we see the fruit of the Spirit being expressed through us in that relationship. So Scripture constantly drives us to that life of faith, of genuinely trusting in Jesus Christ. And as we genuinely trust, we see his life being expressed through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Kenny, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Welcome.
Well, I hope you sort of read on the screen what I said. I've got a bad back and a bad neck and bad shoulder, and I have a short temper. I just get mad. My back goes out, and man, I just get mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, physical pain will do that to us. Physical pain makes us more irritable. Physical pain can make us more susceptible to grabbing a hold of negative attitudes and, you know, reacting like we don't want to react. And you know, I've had my share, and I'm sure these guys have too. We've all had our share of physical trials and struggles and conditions. And you know, I know one condition I had, I mean, it just put me in an irritable mood if I let it. And so I think you ultimately have to just say, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, you live in me, and these are awful, painful circumstances, but I do not want them to control me. I don't want them to control my temperament. I don't want them to control my mood. And so I'm going to lean into you like I never have before, and I'm going to let you dictate my responses to other people. It's okay to be in pain. It's okay to be in physical pain, but we don't want that to control how we treat people. And there really is a choice at the fundamental level. There really is a choice with Christ living in me. I don't have to let a circumstance rule over me. And I know it's hard, but, you know, moment by moment choices, that's what it's all about. And when you blow it, you're forgiven. Remember that, you know, this is not some performance treadmill you're on. When you blow it with somebody and you overreact, you can go to them and say you're sorry, but you can also know that your Heavenly Father has already forgiven you for every overreaction that we might have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does
that help?
Yes, it does help, but yet when that back pain really strikes you, you're just in so much pain, you just don't know what you're doing.
Right.
That's how bad mine is. It doesn't last, thank God. I spend most of my time in bed because of my back pain.
Now, have you consulted a doctor yet on this?
I have. I used to go to a chiropractor, and he misjudged me when he put his knee on me, and he hurt me. And so I said, I know, Lord, that's temporary. It'll pass away. But now I've gotten so I can't lie on my stomach where I can get adjusted.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may want to see a regular physician about that. I mean, you know, I don't think, you know, barring a miracle where God heals you, I mean, you know, I think we Christians many times we're hesitant to go do some of the common sense or godly common sense type things. And, you know, when someone's starving, they don't need more faith. They need a hamburger. And when somebody's got back pain, they don't need, you know, more growth principles or more faith. They might need to be treated by a doctor. So I would encourage you to seek medical help on that. And along the way, just be trusting the Lord with your attitudes and your reactions to people. But, I mean, you know, there's plenty of medical help available. And if it's possible for you, I encourage you to make that move and allow God to work through the doctors. And maybe they'll speak wisdom into your situation.
Well, see, I went in the past, so I realized that I had gone too fast, and they put me on medicine, and they took me off of the pain medicine because of cold regulations and everything, and they put me on gabapentin, and it helps some, but it makes you sleep, and but I hate being doped up all the time.
Right, and you can tell them that, and I just encourage you, you know, say, hey, these things didn't work for me. I don't like the side effects. I don't want to feel that way, but maybe they have other remedies. You know, that's a practical concern there, but, you know, getting back to your core question, guys, I know, you know, we've all been in spots where we've had severe or, you know, pretty severe mental or physical pain, rather, and that's it takes its toll on the body, and that does make us more susceptible to overreacting toward people around us, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think we just, if we're aware of that, then I think it gets right back to what you said, Andrew, earlier. We can make choices. We don't have to let those feelings of pain and the resulting anger control the decisions that we're going to make in day-to-day life. And I think that's when we get in trouble, when we allow anger to control the decisions we make. And that's why Paul said, in your anger, do not sin. It's okay to feel anger. That's not a sin to feel anger, to be angry. The sin is allowing that anger to control your decisions. So just remember that, Mary Jo. Don't beat yourself up for feeling anger. Just remember that you have a choice in the midst of that, and God's love is right there to comfort you. Well, sir, appreciate your call, Mary Jo. 844-322-2742 is the number. Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley is here. My name is Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. We still have time on the clock and some open lines available. So if you have a question, a problem, situation that you would like to discuss, we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Let's go to Westminster, Colorado, and talk with Sean, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm on my hands free. I just actually just pulled in before I lit, but I'm calling. It's more of a comment, but also just to let you know what I was feeling. You had a caller the other day talking about he was a Christian and about what type of music should he listen to or not to, and I just wanted to give my little input that I got saved when I was 15. Over the years, back east, where I'm from, in Connecticut, but over the years I walked away, came out here to Colorado to do my thing, and I was being homeless, which brought me back. Got back into the Word. Now I'm working to help others and stuff. But I noticed, too, certain things. I used to teach dance. I grew up when the hip-hop stuff came out, but in New York and everything. And, like, now I don't have that same desire, too, because I still like listening to music. I'm actually considering getting back into working with young kids and teaching. I've contacted some entertainment companies that work with kids and teach them clean dance movement in a Christian atmosphere. But I just wanted to comment to say that every so often I might listen to some old school music, but I just don't, certain songs I'll like, but I just don't have that same desire. I just feel the Spirit has just taken that out of me. I mean, mm-hmm. If you knew me back in the days, I was a dancer. I loved it. But it's like, even then, I was really particular, but I just still, I don't have that same desire of listening to certain songs. I feel God has taken that out of me. And I just, even now when I listen to music, I'm very particular because, I want to make sure it's something clean, mostly glorifying God stuff, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have to be holed up in a monastery just listening only to Christian music, but I think you've hit on something really important, and that is, you know, I mean, we can give thanks in all things, and we can have our mindset, and we can enjoy some really fun music, even fun music from the past, but I think when the lyrics take us to a place where we can't have a healthy mindset any longer, I think that's when we find ourselves, you know, in a uncomfortable situation spiritually. We feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit and our spirit just saying, you know, this isn't for me anymore. And I've certainly sensed, from one song to the next on the radio, you can be enjoying a station of oldies or whatever, and one song just really resonates with you, and you're having a great time in the Lord and thanking Him for the ride down the road, and then the next song comes on, and you're like, yuck, where did this come out of left field from? So we hear you, and that's why you can't legislate. That's why you can't legislate this. You know, we don't want to make a blanket statement to tell every Christian, hey, here's the law concerning music. But we have to.
Even movies, too, and stuff. Because, even as Christians, we have to be careful what we listen to and then watching. Because, I see some worldly movies that are some good comedy movies and stuff, but then sometimes they'll throw a little language, and I'm like, should I watch it? Because over time, that can still influence us, even as Christians, which the Bible says. Even as followers, we still have to be careful and stay in the Word, because many people can come. Deceiver can come to us. That's the way we always got to test the spirits. Hey, are you from God? Is this really from Christ? And, but I just wanted to mention that because I said, I mean, I love it. And I said, I still got some moves, and every once in a while I'll do a little something in my room. But I'm just particular in what music I do listen to, because some of the stuff I did grow up, I listened to a few seconds of it. And that's about it, a few seconds, maybe a minute. And I'm like, I just don't have that same desire. But other songs, I'm like, oh, okay, but they're, again, they're mm-hmm. clean songs and stuff. But that's right. what we have to learn to discern. And most of all, just ask Christ. Say, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sean. I know, I think one of the questions and one of the thoughts that I've had through the years, I went to college, was in a fraternity, we had parties and, you know, went to bars mm-hmm. and did this and that. And, you know, after really coming to know Christ in a real way and, you know, go back into some of those places and the thought is like, I don't belong here.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that we get in a lot of these instances with music, with places, with mm-hmm. what we watch on TV. You kind of look at it and say, I don't belong there. That's not a part of who I am. And I think that's the Spirit of God just confirming in our hearts and souls that we are new creations, that we have been set apart. So that we could offer ourselves up to Christ to use us. And I think what you're saying is so real, Sean, and we certainly appreciate your comments on today's broadcast. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Bob, one thing about that, it just occurs to me, you know, I think the key in all of this is to realize that whether I listen to one song or another song or watch this movie or that movie, that's not where my righteousness comes from. I'm righteous in Christ because of Christ. Righteousness is a free gift. So once that's off the table, then I say, well, now why should I be discerning? And it's a whole new reason to be discerning. It's not to get righteous or maintain righteousness. Instead, we're looking at the health of my mind. We're looking at my thinking. And there's just a whole new motivation that's present day about my present-day health mentally and emotionally and all those things. So it's just a different ballgame when you know you're righteous, but you also know that God cares about what you feed your mind.
Yes, indeed. Well, we sure appreciate Sean's call today.
Yes.
And I think that's an important topic for us to discuss, and we probably need to do that more often. Just realizing that, you know, as children of God, we're different. We're, you know, it's not that we just get a golden ticket that grants us entry into heaven when we die, or it's not just that we can say that we're forgiven, but something fundamentally has changed on the inside of us.
Yes.
And so as we go out and engage the world and encounter the things that we once did, we're doing so as a different person, and our reactions to it are completely different. And that's evidence of God's work in our lives. And I think that in and of itself is a confirmation that we truly belong to the Lord and that our assurance is sure in Him. And that is the good news of the gospel. Well, as we come to a close on today's broadcast, I want to remind our listeners again of our wonderful offer that's on the table right now, an 8 CD series called The Power of 8. It's a detailed look at the 8 key truths that we think every Christian needs to know as far as their life in Christ is concerned. It's a look at the deity of Christ, the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God, this new covenant that we live in today, the finality of the cross, and exactly what Jesus accomplished for us through His shed blood, the resurrection of Christ, why that is the centerpiece of Christianity, and how we can make the resurrection of Christ the centerpiece of our day-to-day lives. Law versus grace, the issue of how we live this Christian life, our new identity in Christ, and then the 3 distinguishing marks of every believer: faith, hope, and love. So take advantage of this offer. Go to our website right now, basicgospel.net. Click the icon that has the Power of 8 logo and follow the instructions there on how you can receive your copy of The Power of 8, and in so doing, help us continue to reach out with this good news of Jesus Christ through this radio broadcast all around the world. Well, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all of the Basic Gospel team, we will see you again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.